World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there. What is this? This is a 2025 show number 2353. I had an opportunity last night to go out and actually speak to a group last night. Wow. Michelle and I got a chance to go out, small group. God bless those guys up. I don't want to poison them by telling them where we were, and just had a great opportunity. Folks, there's an awakening going on, friends. There's an awakening going on. And it's kind of funny because, I get up early in the morning, get up 5:30, try to do some show prep. So when I get up, I really don't know what direction I'm going to go in the morning. I really don't. I just kind of do some research and some different things because I'm telling you, you could open up any curtain. Who's that man behind the curtain? You could open up any curtain. And if you spend a half hour on the internet opening any curtain and going down that rabbit hole, man, oh man, you would be blown away. And here's one of the curtains that I ran down to today. Just the Holy Spirit gave it to me this morning. And I'm going to show you something. I bet some of you didn't even know this. So this is for some of you old folks out there from 19. I don't know what date it would be. Go ahead and play this thing. Cut it off. I bet a lot of you didn't even know this. Think, man, that was those guys, those birds, the birds. They were good. Right, pull up number two. I don't know how many of you knew this. Probably most of you, old folks. Ecclesiastes 3: to everything there's a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. Time to be born. Didn't we just sing that? A time to plant. A time to pluck up that which is planted. Time to kill, time to heal, time to break down, time to build up, time to weep, time to laugh, time to mourn, time to dance, time to cast away stones, time to gather stones together. Didn't we just hear that? A time to embrace, time to refrain from embracing, time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, time to rend, a time to sow, time to keep silent, a time to speak, time to love, time to hate, time of war. Did you know that the birds did a Christian song? Did you know that? Hey, Spencer, real quickly, when was that song done? Maybe somebody out there can find it. Maybe somebody can find out there for me. When was this song done by the birds? It was in the middle of that all upheaval that the hippies turn in, turn on, drop out, all that stuff. And right in the middle of it, they released this Christian song, 1960. It was originally released as what? To Everything There Is a Season. And then they changed it to Turn, Turn, Turn. It was written by Pete Seeger in 1959. Hey, folks. So Coach Dave tells you the sun is coming up. Why? Because God measures things in seasons. He measures things in seasons. Winter, spring, summer, fall. Now, if we could get out of our head, what if there was or is no end times? You say, well, Coach, that's stupid. That's stupid because you read the Bible, it's right in there. Yeah, but there's a lot of things in the Bible that you read or ignore. You read it, but you don't believe it. What if we're breaking loose in a brand new, the sun coming up in, what if the greatest time that the world has ever seen is before us? Because the Bible, no, it wasn't the Bible. It was some guy, some scientist who taught us, Isaac Newton. Hey, Spence, look him up. I'm just on free roll here a second, folks. Stay with me. When was Isaac Newton? When was he around? Sir Isaac Newton, 1643. No computers, no calculators, no cell phones, no, what do they call that? AI, no GPT chat, or whatever that's called. And Isaac Newton somehow in the 1700s was able to figure out that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. A principle that has been in force in the world probably forever, but that he came up with. Newton's laws, right? Newton's laws. You ever ask yourself this? Because I'm kind of asking myself here this morning. How did they keep records in the 1600s? How did they spread information in the 1400s and the 1200s and the BCs? I mean, is this whole idea that they teach us of this time-space continuum that we live in, is it really real? Was there really a Sir Isaac Newton back born on January 4th? 1643? Was it really a 1727? Is the history that they tell us really true? I'm going somewhere today. Stay with me, okay? Stay with me. Pull up for me number 7. I don't know what to do with this, folks. I don't know what to do with it. Did you guys ever think about this? Hang on, just freeze it right there a second. All these great monolithic structures built all across the world. How'd they do that? How did they do that? Michelle and I were, had an opportunity to go speak last night. We ended up in a little town of Brandon, doesn't mean anything to you, a little town of Homer, just a real tiny little podunk. And you know, there's a famous Nephilim mound in Homer, Ohio. Homer. Not Homer isn't as big as the name, H-O-M-E-R. That's how big Homer is. It's a crossroads, but there's a Nephilim mound in Homer. And I drove Michelle by it like, I said, look at that thing. Look at that. Wait a minute. Where'd that thing come from? And they talk about, we hear them talk about recorded history. Okay, what about unrecorded history? Do we have any unrecorded history? In the beginning, God created in the beginning. And then what happened after the beginning? To everything, there's a season. Time to every purpose under heaven. Yep. And isn't it amazing that be careful what I say here. Careful what we say. Play this video. Because this real quick, Spence, hang on. This is just asking a very simple question. Who built these things? Hey, hang on, Spencer, quickly. See how quick you are. When was the Vatican built? Go back and see if you can, just Google that. When was the Vatican built? As far as I know, Pope's still alive. Vatican City, when was it built? Current St. Peter's Basilica, which stands today, was built between 1506 and 1626. Now, hang on a minute. So they started building it in 1506. I'm thinking about the mounds over here, the Nephilim mounds over here in Newark. So they started building them in 1506, and they ended it in 1626. Can I ask you a question? Who says? How do you know? How do we know that? Current St. Peter's Basilica, which stands there, is built between 1506 and 1626, replacing the old basilica constructed by the Emperor Constantine in the 4th century. Can somebody show me the history books that say that? What, how do we know that? And here's a question I'm asking you, I guess kind of where I'm going. How do we know that in the beginning, as they teach us, that's really the way that it was? How do we know? And I was thinking as I was looking at that Nephilim mound last night in Homer, did people really do that? They really built that thing? And how'd they do it? When did they do it? Did they have shovels? Did they have trucks? How'd they do that? Go ahead and play this.
Talk about the world fairs. Why were we never taught about them? Why did Lake Chicago look like ancient Greece? Are we really supposed to believe those clearly stone buildings were all made from paper mache and potato bags? These expos were going on worldwide, supposedly creating hundreds of temporary buildings year after year with just horse and buggy. They tell us these enormous structures were built in, give or take, 2 years, only to be ended with barbaric desecration 6 months later. But let's take a closer look. Their narrative is immediately contradicted per usual, as we see multiple buildings from these fairs still remaining today. How would anyone in their right mind believe this is temporary? And then take a look at Buffalo, New York, 1901. Where's the blueprints? Who supplied all the materials? What equipment was used to lift these massive granite statues? How are their entire canals and bridges being held by plaster? Something easily broken down by weight and water. And then we have some expos in the middle of nowhere, like St. Louis. No airports, nothing. Still didn't stop 20 million people from visiting. Are we to think millions traveled the sea on boats? Not to mention the planning, the preparation, materials required to accommodate 20 million in sanitation, plumbing, food, and so on. And then we have the exposition in Paris. Does this look temporary to you? Many of these buildings already indicate signs of aging. You can really see the weathering on it. Does that look 6 months old, let alone a few years? No, these are hundreds. These fairs held multiple segmented areas to showcase fine arts, science, the latest inventions, including human zoos and incubator babies. We even have an introduction to pus and mucus foods like hot dogs and hamburgers, including a cultural rise in beer. Maybe they're testing the fluoride. To me, these fairs were basically worldwide indoctrination points to our modern thinking, conducted by the powers that be to hide already previously established cities of an earlier civilization as mere temporary attractions. And to anyone thinking these are temporary, look at some more photos of these expos. Oh wait, the bottom is St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican, more than 400 years old. Nothing about the official story regarding these worldwide expos adds up. The only logical explanation is that what you're looking at is pre-existing architecture of the old world, repurposed to fit a new narrative, brainwashing the millions just like they do in the media today. The buildings were built, but when? They were anything but temporary and destroyed for a reason. Let's talk.
Wow, huh? Huh? And don't they tell us that history is written by the victors? Victors? Are they really telling us the truth? And then here's where we're heading. I'm going to try to put bookends together, and I'm going to open it up. I got some other stuff I want to show you here. Go to number 10. Do you guys follow Whitney Webb? I don't really follow Whitney Webb a whole lot. I don't at all. But she's a phenom. She's a phenom. And, you know, I'm kind of playing off of yesterday's show. And was it yesterday's show? And Mark Trummer talking about AI and different realms and all that stuff that we don't really understand. That in the church, they don't even teach us anymore about the spirit realm. Not really. And do we really understand the depth of the spirit realm? And is the history that they've given us really the real history? Or is it really, really true that the victors write the history? And what about those pyramids? And what about those old civilizations? Were there civilizations? Who determines what we get to hear about? Who determines history? Who does? Satan's the author of confusion. And Satan would like nothing better than to get us running down the wrong path towards where we are and what's really going on. Oh boy. So here's Whitney Webb. I'm just going to play about 5 minutes of it. Although, let's do this. Yeah, we'll play 5 minutes of it. Dystopian AI future. AI. Can I do it again? Hey, hang on. Freeze it. Where's the closest subway?
Which subway?
Which one's closest? Is there a subway in Newark, Ohio?
Okay, I can call that location or get directions.
What the heck is this? What the heck is this? This artificial intelligence. And is artificial intelligence really nothing more than tapping into the spirit realm? Is that really what's going on? Are these people really making up artificial intelligence? Can somebody tell me how Gene can be sent? Where are you, Gene?
In Oklahoma.
How can Gene be sitting in Oklahoma and somehow through the air, we do this show and he picks it up instantaneously? 5G. What are we talking about? Are we beginning for really, really, really beginning to tap in to something deeper than what we even understand, folks? Happening all around us. Huh? Everybody's got one of these. Your kids have one of these. You go and you sit and you look around in the mall, wherever you go, and everybody's doing this. So Whitney Webb says the elites are using AI to destroy the human spirit. Put this at 1.5 speed. By the way, they're not going to be successful at it, but that is their attempt to do it. 1.5. I'm going to play about 5 or 6 minutes of it and then going to put it in the chat. And you have to watch the rest of it on your own. And so, go ahead.
That it's inevitable that we're going down this transhumanist. So it seems like we're being presented this idea that it's inevitable that we're going down this transhumanist AI post-human world. We're going down this conveyor belt towards this future. And I think it's people like you and me are saying, we don't have to go down this conveyor belt. It's not inevitable. But if we were to stay on this dystopian, tyrannical, globalist conveyor belt, where does that lead? Like a generation from now, if we don't make a change and they usher in the future
that
as technocrats, what are we looking at?
Yeah, so I would encourage people, if they want to essentially know what's planned in that scenario, to go and read the book written by Eric Schmidt, the former Google CEO I mentioned earlier, and Henry Kissinger, called The Age of AI, Our Human Future. So essentially there they frame a lot of stuff as warnings, but if you have any idea into who Eric Schmidt and Henry Kissinger are and what they've done in their careers, they don't really seem very concerned about some of the impacts they claim to be concerned about to me, but that's just me personally. But there are some things they say in there that objectively do consider careful consideration. So one of those is that AI will, invariably lead to a division of society. Essentially, they don't use this term, but I will use it, into classes of haves and have-nots. But the way they define it is a little different. So sort of this more elite tier would be the people that determine AI's objective function, that program and develop AI and understand what AI does to people. And then the lower class presumably would be much larger. And that is the class that AI will act upon, but people will lose the ability to know what AI is doing to them. And they argue that this process of people losing the ability to know what AI is doing to them will happen because of this phenomena they refer to as cognitive diminishment, which is sort of this idea.
Cognitive diminishment.
It's pretty easy to verify. If you don't if you stop doing mental math and use a calculator all the time, it gets harder and harder and harder to do mental math.
Stop a minute. Cognitive? What did they call that? In other words, losing your inability to think. We have children today don't know how to read a roadmap. They don't know how to read a roadmap. Why? Because it's right at their fingertips. And if they're able to control, what did they say? Trust the experts. Stop doing your own research. Because if you trust the experts and you stop doing your own research, look where we end up, right? Look where we end up in a place where the average person that you come in contact with knows that a man can't be a woman, yet accept it. How does that happen, friends? How does that kind of stuff happen? What is it? Oh, man. What's that old saying? the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Remember, National Association of Black Colleges or something like that? The mind is a terrible thing to waste. Mm-hmm. We're wasting our minds, by the way. Okay, go ahead. I'll shut up. Do me a favor. Slow it down and let's listen. Go back to regular speed and listen to a little bit more of what Whitney Webb is telling us. Look at that. Hey, look. Hey, folks. Does that look like your kids? Does that look like the kids in school today? Humped in the corner looking at their phone? Being programmed to regurgitate exactly what it is everybody else is telling them. Evolution, devolution, all that programmed. Right? To the point where when you're a believer in Christ and believer in creationism, you're like the freak. You're like the freak, right? Why? Because the battleground's in the mind. Take captive every thought, exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Are we doing that? Do we do that in the church? Are we teaching it to people to be able to recognize the fake? That's a fake. And Mark Trump, I don't know what AI is. I know this, it's real. I know that right now I'm sitting here and out in the middle of nowhere in Ohio, and Gene's listening to me in Oklahoma, and then he's listening to me in Brooklyn of all places. How is this stuff happening, folks? And do we really understand? Who told us? Okay, keep playing some Whitney here. Go ahead.
Like any skill that you don't practice. So they argue that because
lose a skill, if you don't practice a skill, you lose it.
It's been creeping into our lives, and I think we've seen this a lot since the advent of generative AI. It will become harder and harder and harder, and eventually impossible for people to do certain things, including make decisions for themselves, because the AI will tell you where to go. It will tell you what music to listen to. It will tell you what clothes to buy. And essentially, that's their vision. People will eventually lose the ability to make those decisions for themselves or even develop their own preferences without the assistance of artificial intelligence. And so obviously the way to fight against that is to not outsource all of your decision-making and skills to that. And unfortunately, I think during it, as we've seen with the rise of generative AI, people are creating less. People are outsourcing their creativity to AI. Have AI make art for me. Have AI write things for me. And eventually that leads to a world where in a generation, people don't know how to create art or create music or write without AI. And what does that ultimately mean for humanity? Then essentially we do end up in sort of this helpless state where we become dependent on machines to function, but it only happens if we voluntarily give ourselves over to that type of system and decline to use the abilities granted to us by our consciousness and our souls and decide to let machines do it for us and have them become the creators and have us just be processors for AI, batteries like the Matrix. I mean, I don't know, but I'd rather not see that come to fruition. And I think the way to avoid that is very easily within the hands of anybody, regardless of your economic status or what your skills are. Everybody can create something. Maybe you whittle things out of wood. Maybe you make music. Maybe you make art, visual art, or other, woven art. I don't know. There's all sorts of things people do. People have always been creating ever since we've existed as a species. And I think if we surrender that, then the post-human future would be an inevitability. These people are hoping.
Post-human future. We're on the verge of that right now, aren't we, friends? So in the presentation I had last night in front of those men, that sounded crass. I didn't mean in front of those men. I actually ran into a couple guys that I coached back in 1975. Oh my goodness. It was good to see him, but to have a group of men in a room, and really for the most part, I'm not being critical, they don't understand what's going on. They don't understand it. Why? Because the supernatural has left the church. Supernatural's gone. It's gone out of the church. And when you go to church, and I'm not being critical of where I went last night, just churches in general, they're so shallow. They're so here and now. They're so bless me today and get me through this day, and then I'll come Sunday and you bless me again, and on, without understanding the cosmos and what's going on around us in this wonderful, unbelievable world that God created, and that we have such a tell me how to get wherever. And I don't know what you guys think. I know this because I've been dealing with the, you know, the mobility issues from the impact of gout. Use it or lose it, baby.
Use Amen.
It. Use it or lose it, baby. And what we're seeing right in front of us is we are losing it merely through convenience. It's easier for me to ask than to do the research on my own. And as a result of that, they present to us a history that maybe isn't true. Isn't true. Hang on. 4 years. It took them 4 years to make Patriots J6ers. 4 years. That's all it took. Over and over and over and over again. But hang on, hang on. You know Coach Dave's son's always coming up, right? All right. Go number eight. Pull up number eight for me. Huh? Oh, yeah. Pull up number eight. Hang on. Here it comes. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All these people who have been programming us for how long? Joy Reid, gone. The View, gone. Poopy Whoopy, gone. Tom Hanks, gone. That lesbian for Biden, gone. Joe Scarborough, gone. Do you guys realize how much we have been programmed by this other side? They've taken over all information. They've taken over all media. And all of a sudden, boom, they're getting booted left and right. What's the name of the, huh? What's that guy's name? Come on. NBC booting him, gone. I don't even see him.
Lester Holt, boom.
Lester Holt, gone. What's going on, folks? What's going on? Are we in the middle of a cycle? Are we at the beginning of another cycle? I got to show you one more thing. Then we'll open it up. I want to hear from you. Huh? Hang on. In your lifetime, in my lifetime, we had a guy that when I was a little kid, I'm talking 7, 8. There was a guy in town. His name was Noel Wrigley. Noel Wrigley. No, I'm sorry, but wherever you are, N-O-E-L, Noel Wrigley, and he was a homosexual. Now, I'm 7 years old, and I don't even know what that means. And my mom, talking to my aunt, called him a bato. Now, I don't even know. I don't even know what that means. But Noel was a bato. You didn't even mention it. You didn't even mention it. Noel was a bato. And then after a while, my older brothers told me what a bato meant. And I thought, are you kidding me? What? It was that rare that we didn't even call it what it was. We didn't even use that homo word. Look where we are today. How's this happened? How has it happened that not only that, the batos are now welcome in the church? The batos not only are welcome in the church, they're welcome in the pulpit in the church. How did this happen? Other than there really is an adversary. There really is an adversary against the truth. And the church sits around and has no understanding of it. The church just as programmed as the atheist. Just as programmed. And I said to my wife last night, I don't know if she heard me, I'm driving up there. So can you name one Christian, one openly Christian talking head on any major news? Can you guys? I mean, Christians are what, 70% of the people claim to be Christians? Can you name of one openly Christian, unashamed Christian. Can you imagine NBC, CBS, CNN? Can you imagine say, well, now on today's commentary, here's perspective from a Christian. Can you imagine that even being done? Not even being done. Like it's not even a worldview. 70% of the people are Christians and it's not even a worldview. Not even included. How's this happen? What is going on? And are we at the end of the cycle? One more thing I got to show you. One more thing. Pull up number three. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, although I wish I could be one. That's not what I want. How do we get that? That isn't what I want. No, that's not it. I'll have to find it. That's not what I wanted. I sent you the wrong diagram. I'll find it. Paul's got his hand up. Come on in, Paul, while I look for this thing.
Yeah, Coach, I was kind of doing my own research too.
Paul, don't be doing that. Don't be doing your own research.
Well, I have to. And anyway, so how do they bring this about in a world? This whole is AI stuff. Well, what happens is like 9/11, when you saw that, everybody was in trauma. And people in trauma, PTSD, tend to, they'll believe anything to keep from going back there.
That's right.
Called gaslighting. And so people with trauma self-gaslight themselves because they don't want to go there. And so it's easy for the government and police to gaslight you when they traumatize you.
Yeah, but Paul, it's the Luciferians. We can call them police. We can call them elected officials. Call them want to. There's a spiritual component to it. Go ahead.
Absolutely, Coach. I'm just pointing out when you see trauma, when you see mass chaos, COVID, it's easy to manipulate the population. That's all I'm saying, Coach. It was pretty obvious to me what was going on.
So it is programming, right? It's programming. Hey, Spence, see how quick you are there, brother. Go to Webster and look up programming. Programming. Tonight's program, and by the way, we have a program here every morning. What's a program? Hang on, he'll find it for us. Programma. Proclamation. We know what programming. I thought I'd find something good. Remember, this was written back in a long time ago. So some of these things maybe weren't the one. Maybe there wasn't programming. Maybe there wasn't propaganda. Maybe there wasn't, right? And friends, the job of the church is to counter this. Yeah, Paul, tell a vision. You mean to tell a vision. Tell a vision. Give us a vision and tell us. Right? Oh, man. Coach, say, I haven't thought about some of this stuff. I know. And it's all around us. And can I tell you this? I'm sorry. You've been programmed in your church. We've all been programmed. Somewhere along the line, Jesus just became love, 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 love. Yes, love your neighbor is an edict of Christianity, but it's not at the heart of Christianity. It's not the foundation of Christianity. Truth is the foundation of Christianity. Earnestly contending for the faith is the heart of Christianity. Not love, 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 acceptance, tolerance. No. Why? Evil men crept in unaware. They changed the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve the creature more than the creator. And we look around at this culture and the society that I live in at 72 years old, and it ain't anything like what I grew up in. And the question I asked last night, and I asked this morning, is who is going to do something about it? Who is going to bring us back to reality, back to truth, justice, the American way? Elected officials, they're going to do that? And we gripe and moan that Trump ain't good enough. Oh, Trump's not Christian enough. Well, I'm telling you something. Trump is doing more for Christianity than the average pastor ever thought about. That's what I think. Now, do we trust him? That's a whole different story. We sit in a place right now. Did you see the changing? Throw that picture back up there again, Spencer. The changing of the guard, boys and girls. The changing of the guard, huh? To everything turn. There is a season, turn. And a time to get rid of all those idiots on MSNBC and CNN. There's an upheaval. There's a churning. There's a turning going on. And if we in the body of Christ miss this opportunity, first of all, the Lord's not going to let us miss it. He's not going to let us miss it. Because I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is taking us over, not under. No. He's going to be a victorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The whole world's going to see and acknowledge him as King of Kings. And the sad part of it is, those of us who carry his name and serve him don't really believe that. I looked at those men, there's, I don't know, 50 of them, I don't know how many. Good old boys, salt of the earth men. They could control their schools. Those 50 men could get Christianity back into the school. Right, is anybody watching other than me that President Trump said no more transgenderism? Two genders, Trump said. And hey, Jack, what did that old hag of yours up there in Maine say? What did that old hag up there in Maine say, the governor of Maine? She says, we ain't following that. We ain't following that up here in Maine.
See you in court.
See you in court. What'd Trump say? You're finished. You are finished. Now, here's a question. Hey, Jack, the churches in Maine going to stand up? Churches in Maine going to stand up? Or the churches in Maine going to sit back and keep looking at the signs of the time and wondering when they're going to be out of here? Because, man, if they went back and they, what if they went back and they reformed their culture? What if they went back and they restored Christianity into the education? What if they went in and they restored Christian government? Oh, heaven forbid, can't do that. No, can't do that. Because why? It's the end times. No. To everything, there's a season and time to every purpose under heaven. And who was it that so put into our mind end time theology? Who was that? I'm not here to argue about it. I'm asking that question. Because I can rattle off about five people right now who dropped dead. And I don't even have the courage to ask the question that everybody's asking. Did he take the jab? The obvious question nobody will ask because we've been so programmed that if you ask that question, why, you're a conspiracy theorist. Bye-bye, Whoopi. Hey, friends, do you think it was by accident that they put two of the most ignorant women in the history of media on a daily show? Whoopi and Joy. Are there two greater airheads than those two people? And for 10 years or 12 years, they sat home. They came into your house and led silly women laden with lust. They led them astray. Think that was by accident? To everything, turn. There is a sea. Pope's going to die. Pope's dying. Oh, open your eyes. That thing's rotating. There's something going on. Eileen, come on in.
Good morning, Coach. Talking about programming, I came across Candace Owens doing a documentary on Emmanuel Macron and Brigitte, because the rumor was out there that Brigitte is a man.
Oh.
And so this investigative journalist wrote a book. He since went into hiding, but can you believe Candace got a letter from the palace in Paris that they were going to sue her and blah, blah, blah. And they did nothing. They just threatened. But it is. And here we go. What about Barack and Michael? All right. And then we got Justin Trudeau.
What about Barack and the birth certificate?
Right.
Keep going. Keep going.
Well, we got the same problem with Justin Trudeau, and who knows where he came from. But all of a sudden, what Candace talked about and covered in her documentary is, where did this guy come from?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he just, out of thin air, he is running for president. Well, he has connections to the Rothschilds.
Oh.
And then they talk about the incest. One of the Rothschilds even said something about incest is best. They got to keep it in the family. But it's all controlled by the globalists, World Economic Forum.
The Masonic, dare I say it, right? See, we don't want to believe in it, do we? We don't want to believe it. Can somebody tell me why in every township, not county, there's 88 counties in Ohio. Hey, Spencer, boy, if you can pull this one out, how many townships are there in the state of Ohio? Now, township is a smaller division of a county. So you have a county, then you have a smaller division. It's called a township. How many townships are there, Spencer? He's looking. He's doing a good job. Does it tell us? Well, there they are. There's a list of them. How many are there?
AI, of course he can.
Look at that. 1,362 townships in Ohio. Did you guys know there's a Masonic temple in every township in Ohio?
Boom.
Did you know that? That by design? Probably not just Ohio, probably where you live as well. And help me out here. Doesn't the Masonic come as an angel of light? Doing good things for the community, lure people in. And then the next thing you know, why, one of the guys in that lodge, whatever that means, why, he's sitting as a judge. He got elected judge. Come on now. Come on. The devil has a network. The devil has a network. And what's the network that's supposed to counter the devil? The church. The church won't counter the devil because we can't wait to get out of here. We think we're out of here. We're out of here. Joe Allen, come on in. Say, hang on. Say, Coach, say, hang on, Joe. Hang on. Say, Coach, I love this show. I ain't never seen nothing like this show. Go ahead, Joe.
Here's how AI is working with our children. I got our youngest grandchild, or not youngest, but in the midst there, 6 years old. His father, cybersecurity guy, has him in activities like with Boy Scouts, trying to bring them out, get them outdoors. So if any of you old Boy Scouts know what Pinewood Derby is, but they take a block of wood and carve out a car into it. Mm. So a six-year-old grandson here starts to build a Pinewood Derby car and shows us what he wants us to do to it. The child just wants second of all the Boy Scouts in this county, second place. A six-year-old. And then we asked him, how do you know what he was doing? Well, I went on the computer, Grandpa. What's this doing to our six-year-old children? They have to go on a computer and they learn how to do stuff before their father does.
Mm. Oh boy, oh boy.
Enough said.
Joseph, not only that, the programming that the indoctrination that we give them in American education. Adam, come on in.
Hey, Coach, good morning. Morning. Your show's spot on this morning. I want to tell you, 30 years ago, I got into law enforcement and I wasn't a Christian yet. And at one point, I had all the guys that I was working with in the facility I was working in try to get me to join the Masons.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know anything about the Masons. And just as I was about to go follow them and join, I got saved and I became a Christian, and the Lord instantly revealed to me not to do it, and I didn't do it. But just think of how many people are getting conned into going into things like this, and then it's too late.
Well, that's why he said the evil man crept in. It's Jude. Pull up Jude for me real quick, Spence. Jude. Folks, the Bible's the directive key to everything. Jude. Jude. God must call Spencer asleep this morning. Only one chapter in Jude. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. Scroll on down. Why? Why? Why would I have to do that? For there are certain men who crept in unaware. Who did? Certain men. John F. Kennedy said, going to do it through infiltration rather than invasion. You know, crept in unaware, and they're going, who were before of ordained to this? Huh? They were picked by Lucifer to do this stuff. Ungodly men. Yeah. Turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness. Telling you Jesus loves everybody and you can continue. You can be a homosexual and be a Christian. You can do that. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? What? Yeah. So, folks, if you go to a church where they speak righteousness and judgment, well, first of all, the church ain't going to survive very long because nobody will go to it. But what you get in the church today, you're going to get in the culture tomorrow. And that's really what we're talking about. That's really where we are. And that's why we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We're the salt and the light. Who is? The church. Well, how come the church won't be salt and light to a lost and dying world? Why won't they? Now, hang on. Got you one more thing. Pull up for me the email on ivermectin. Pull up for me, Spence. I think I sent it to you. Yeah, ivermectin. Ivermectin. You guys know this? Anybody remember when ivermectin was horse paste? Remember making fun of you? Huh? Remember when the media laughed, said ivermectin was only for horses and cows? By the way, did your pastor do any research and tell you about ivermectin, or did he not take it as well? Well, now we know. It prevents damage caused by drugs created using mRNA technology, locks the entry of spike protein into your cells, and if the person was vaccinated, they can treat themselves for damage already done by using ivermectin. Are you hearing that, folks? It was only beneficial. It has only beneficial effects, no harmful effects in the treatment of this virus. And in fact, even before entering the cell, it has already destroyed the virus in the blood. Ivermectin, that horse paste, that stuff, you can't take, because look, COVID was a bioweapon. Designed, I got that, I may not get to it, designed, folks, designed to kill.
Amen.
It has a very powerful name. Why? Because the devil's kids are in control of everything because the church doesn't want to be. It was a very powerful anti-inflammatory action. Again, it has powerful impact on traumatic and orthopedic injuries. It strengthens muscles, has no side effects like corticosteroids. It treats autoimmune ailments such as rheumatoid arthritis, ankylosing. I don't even know some of this. Fibromyalgia, psoriasis, Crohn's disease, allergy. Yeah, horse paste. Yeah, that horse. How many people are dead today because they got that remdesivir rather than? Ooh. It improves, where am I? It improves the immunity levels in cancer patients. It treats herpes simplex and herpes zoster, plus reduces the frequency of sinusitis and diverticulitis. It protects the heart and cardiac overload. In embolism, for example, it prevents cardiac hypoxia because it stimulates the production of basic energy. So this tissue is not destroyed, and thus improves cardiac function. It's anti-parasitic, anti-neoplastic, which is cancer. Allegedly, it suppresses the proliferation metastasis of cancer cells, preserving healthy cells, improving the effectiveness of chemotherapy treatment. It can kill cancer cells resistant to chemotherapy, defeating the resistance to multiple chemotherapeutics that tumors develop, and combined with chemotherapy and or anti-cancer agents, provides an increase in the effectiveness of these treatments. What? This horse paste they told you not to take, right? It's anti microbial. Increases immunity. It reaches the central nervous system and regenerates the nerves. It helps to regulate glucose, insulin metabolism, cholesterol levels, and reduces liver fat and steatosis. I don't even know what that is, but it works against it. It can be used as a prophylactic agent and has been associated with significant reduction in infection, hospitalization, and mortality rates due to COVID-19. But unless we realize that at the head of the medical system is a desire to kill people, then we're not going to, what did they tell you? Don't do your own research. Don't you dare be doing your own research. Believe us. Follow us. Follow us. Dr. Sherry Timpenny told me 3 years ago or 4 years ago. I can't remember when. Doesn't matter whichever one. She says, Coach, because I asked her about the effects of the virus. And she said, well, Coach, she says, it's not going to show up for years. She said, 3-4 years from now, people are going to be dying as the result of having taken it, but they're not going to make the association to it. They're not going to realize that when I took that jab 4 years ago, my heart starts today. They're not going to make it. And we're seeing right now, I'm sorry if you took it. But I love you enough to tell you the truth that your life might be shortened because you took it. Might be shortened. Now, a good question we ask, if I'm a pastor, do I have an obligation to tell my flock to get some ivermectin and take it? Or do I listen to the mainstream media, enjoy, what's her name, Joy Reid and Whoopi and that other lady, and listen to them? So we've lost the ability to reason. We've lost the ability to connect A and B and get C. We're programmed. Evil men crept in unaware. They changed the truth of God into a lie. And they worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. Look around you at the impact or lack thereof of Christianity in a culture, in a society where Jesus himself said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And how much we've hidden it under a bushel. Come on in, Laura.
Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
I have a couple points. You know, we're supposed to show ourselves approved, right?
Yep.
By studying the word. Well, we also need wisdom to help one another. So if you don't study and you believe everything that they're telling you, because right now I just saw an ad, because I haven't watched mainstream news in 4 years, and I was watching something at locally here in Chicago, and they're trying to shove down people's throats that nanotechnology is a lie. So They're still lying about everything, and they have to tell everybody that you don't have this little chip floating around you, right?
Because there is no truth in them. You understand it, friends?
Right.
There is no truth in them. Go ahead.
So they've exchanged the truth for a lie because they have to, right? Because yep. That's how they keep doing it, you know. And there is absolutely no way that. Because, you know, all these pastors, you know, that have absolutely no leadership skills that are identified with Christ, because they're leading people to hell. They're not leading them to the joy of the strength is the Lord, right? They've caused division within the sheep. The pastors no longer smell like the sheep.
Mm.
They no longer dwell with the sheep. They dwell with each other. They go in the green room. Well, where's the green room? It's the AstroTurf room. Mm. It's not that green pasture so that they smell like the sheep, because they don't do that. We all here smell like sheep. Even you, as you lead us, you smell like sheep.
I hope I do.
Because you're one of us. Betty smells like sheep. You know, everybody else in here smells like sheep. Mel smells like sheep. You know, Claudine smells like sheep, and she's got to sit there and go in. She smells like a sheep, and that's why she's with all those wolves, and that's why they can identify Claudine, because she's a sheep going in there, going into the wolves' den.
Well said, man. Well said.
You know, and my last point is if the sheep don't start coming together, and you don't start trusting and start being sheep dogs and protecting one another, they're going to win. But we have this thing that we have Jesus Christ, and we have prayer. And that's how we can stay together, all of us who are all over the world, whoever listening, you know. And I pray to God, whoever's listening to, and I ask in the mighty name of Jesus, whoever's listening right now, that's from the deep state, that's trying to take out your sheep, that is a wolf, that you encounter Jesus Christ himself, and that you get saved and your name's written in his book of life. So that's my rant for right now. So thank you for listening.
Amen. Amen. It's all good. It's all good, right? Huh? So I just keep coming back to the same thing. If I were God, heaven forbid that would ever happen. If I were God and I love my people, and that's what they tell us, right? They tell us that God loves people and we all love each other and God is love. Then am I to assume that God is in support of all this transgenderism and gender mutilation and divorce and laying around and God's in favor of all that stuff? He's advancing his kingdom by permitting that stuff? Or did he say in Matthew chapters 5 that you and I are the salt? We are. We're the salt of the earth. But if we lose our savor, we're good for nothing. We're good for nothing. And you drive around any town that you look, any town where you live, and you see the steeples. Some of them still have steeples, although they did away with steeples in the churches any now. And you drive around and you ask yourself this question. You stop out in front of a church and you point at it and say, is there any evidence of the impact of this church in this community? Well, they're impacting individual families, maybe. Are they the salt? If I were to drive into Newark, Ohio right now, all those churches around there, is any evidence that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Newark, Ohio? And the answer is no. No. Churches don't even like each other. Pastors don't even work together. Pastors are in competition. Somebody can say amen just so I know I'm in the right place, right? They're in competition. They're trying to build their own kingdoms. Why? Why? Because that's how they've learned. That's how they've been taught to do it. Why? Because evil men crept in unaware and changed the truth of God into a lie. And they worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. It's right in front of us. It's right in front of us.
Boom.
And we're looking for, we get mad. We get mad because Trump isn't Christian enough. Donald Trump walked in front of America and said, hey, two genders, from here on, two genders. Hey, state of Maine. No boys and girls sports. If you do, we're cutting off your money. That ought to be a pastor saying that, not the president of the United States. I'll be a pastor. I'll be a pastor standing up with his congregation and say, ain't none of us paying any more property tax till this stops.
Amen.
That's what salt does. Why don't we do that? Evil men crept in unaware, changed the truth of God into life. Worship, serve the creature. To everything turn. There is a season, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. I think it's time some things changed. I think those of us who claim and believe in the power of Jesus Christ, arise, O men of God, arise, push back, fight. Where did the church lose? It's fight. Feminized, content to sit in there and wave flags and lift your hands and walk out the door, and they're teaching your next door neighbor's boy, he can be a girl. Bless me, Jesus. See you tomorrow.